Say hello to a new friend on an old road. Take a two-lane trip of memories into mysteries unknown. Come along for the ride. Jim Hinckley's America. Jim Hinckley's America.
Good morning, everyone, here in Kingman, Arizona. It's Christmas Eve. We're not going to have a white Christmas, but they're talking snow by next Tuesday. Definitely cold and windy. Temperatures, you know, in the 30s and the 40s. Been raining most of the night, which is something we really need. It's been so dry around here the last few years, we're going to be hunting jerky instead of deer. Hey, this morning, it's the last of our Christmas programs for 2021. And I'm going to share with you a couple of stories, from one from World War I and one from World War II. They're both inspirational stories, and they're both just a tad bit tragic. But something to think about this Christmas season. And with that said, let me we'll get this thing going here for you. It was the unofficially, it was known as the Christmas Truce. That's how it's come to be known in history. But there was never an official edict handed down, and it was not all along the front lines. It was the so-called, like say, Christmas Truce 1914. This is only 5 months after the outbreak of war in Europe, World War I. And it was one of the last major examples of an outdated concept of chivalry between enemies in warfare. There was a time, the Knights of Templar and things of this nature, there was codes of honor. It was still brutal. It's war, for gosh sakes. But there was a certain code of chivalry. And this particular event marked the end of an era for a lot of reasons. Future attempts at holiday ceasefires during World War I were often quashed by officers' threats of disciplinary action. But it served as proof, however brief, that beneath the brutal clash of weapons, beneath the horrors of war, there was a certain essential humanity endured among the soldiers. It started on Christmas Eve. Many German and British troops fighting along the front lines began singing Christmas carols back and forth to each other across the lines. And then German brass bands sometimes would join in. And then, miraculously, incredibly, at the first light of dawn on Christmas Day, some German soldiers at points along the line emerged from their trenches and approached the Allied lines across no man's land, calling out Merry Christmas in their enemy's native tongue. Well, of course, the Allied soldiers thought this has to be a trick. They noticed the Germans were unarmed. So they climbed out of their trenches and cautiously shook hands with the enemy soldiers. The men even exchanged presents of cigarettes and plum puddings and sat together, sang carols and songs. Some Germans lit Christmas trees around their trenches, and there's even cases of soldiers playing a good-natured game of soccer that day. German Lieutenant Kurt Zeimisch recalled, "How marvelously wonderful. Yet how strange. The English officers felt the same way about it. Christmas, the celebration of love, managed to bring mortal enemies together as friends for a time." Some soldiers used this short-lived ceasefire for something a little more somber. The retrieval of bodies of fellow combatants who had fallen within no man's land between the lines. A few years ago, it was January, not December, I was in the Netherlands on business, and a friend of mine, a dear friend of mine, who's shares my passion for history and fascination and interest in World War I and World War II, and We had a chance to travel down to Ypres, Belgium, site of some horrendous battles between 1914 and 1917. And they put a lot of this in perspective when I read about this Christmas truce. It was we went to a site place called Sanctuary Woods, where trenches and breastworks and were preserved. And it was a very cold, deep, foggy, misty, drizzly rain day type of day. And standing in those trenches with ice water up to our ankles and reflecting on this gave this story a different feel. The shell craters were still there. The shattered stumps of large trees somehow had survived all these years. It was quite a moving place. Quite a memory-making place. Now I want to share one from World War II. During World War II, except in rare instances, we didn't have the trench warfare and the close contact like we did in the First World War. The Ardennes, the Battle of the Bulge, but that's a different story entirely. But there were few chances for American troops to be really in close contact with German forces. Any large-scale truce for Christmas 1994 was impossible. Just like, say, 9 days prior to Christmas, the Germans had launched one of the largest counteroffenses of the war, and it was a brutal and bloody and horrendous event that's come to be known as the Battle of the Bulge. And fighting continued throughout the holiday. There's no official Christmas truce, just like in World War I. But we do have some interesting stories, and this one really fascinated me. It's a well-documented story. It's kind of a small truce, if you will, and it took place during the height of the fighting in the Battle of the Bulge. It's the story of Fritz Wincken. He was a young German boy at the time of the battle, about 12 years old. He had moved with his mother to a cottage in the Hartgen Forest after their hometown of Aachen was partially destroyed in an American offensive. The area where they lived had been quiet until 9 days before Christmas when the German Ardennes offensive had crashed through the area. And according to Fritz later, he said, "We heard the incessant booming of field guns, planes soared continuously overhead, and at night searchlights lit the darkness." Then on Christmas Eve, 1944, Fritz and his mother answered a knock at the door. There were three American soldiers. Now, if the first part of this that's really fascinating to me, a knock at the door. They didn't just barge in on the family, even though they were in a combat zone. Three American soldiers, one badly wounded, were standing there. While the Wincken's did not speak English, nor the Americans German, they were able to communicate to a limited extent in French. Fritz's mother invited the Americans inside and tried to make them comfortable. Fritz later remembered, quote, "We learned that the stocky, dark-haired fellow was Jim, his friend, tall and slender, was Robin, and Harry, the wounded one, was sleeping on my bed, his face as white as the snow outside. They'd lost their battalion and had wandered in the forest for 3 days, looking for Americans, hiding from Germans with no food. They hadn't shaved, but still, without their heavy coats, they looked like big boys. And that was the way my mother began to treat them. Fritz's mother made a meal of potatoes and a rooster that she had saved for a reunion with Fritz's father. As they cooked, there was a second knock on the door. Now, she expected to find more lost Americans, but Fritz says he opened the door without hesitation. And there were four soldiers wearing uniforms that were very familiar to Fritz. They were Wehrmacht Germans. Although still a child, I knew the law that sheltering enemy soldiers was considered high treason. My mother and I would be shot. The corporal leading the German patrol told Fritz's mother, "We've lost our regiment, and we need to wait for daylight out of the snow. May we rest here?" And of course, she replied in the affirmative. "You can also have a fine, warm meal and eat till the pot is empty. But we have guests in our home." She said, "You may not consider them friends, but this is Christmas Eve, and I will not allow shooting in my home." The corporal asked about Americans, and Fritz's mother replied, "Yes, listen, you could be my sons, and so could they." And she explained how there was a boy with a gunshot wound and two friends, lost like you and hungry like you and exhausted like you. She said, "This one night, I ask you, I implore you, Christmas night, let us forget about killing." Surprisingly, the Germans respectfully stacked their guns by the door, and after a quick conversation in French, the startled Americans turned over their weapons to Fritz's mother. And even more incredible, the entire group sat down and began sharing dinner. Fritz picks up the story again. He said, "Relaxation was now beginning to replace suspicion. Even to me, all the soldiers looked very young as we sat there together. Heinz and Willy, both from Cologne, were 16. The German corporal, 23, was the oldest of them all, and from his food bag he drew out a bottle of red wine, and Hans managed to find a loaf of rye bread. Mother cut that into small pieces to be served with the dinner. Half the wine, however, she put away for the wounded boy. Then Mother said grace, and there were tears in her eyes as she said the old familiar words, 'Come, Herr Jesus, be our guest.' And as I looked around the table, I saw tears in the eyes of the battle-weary soldiers. They were boys again, some from America, some from Germany, and they were all far from home. And just before midnight, Mother went to the doorstep and asked us to join her to look up at the Star of Bethlehem. We all stood beside her except the wounded boy who was sleeping. And for all of us, during the moment of silence, looking at the highest star in the heavens, the war was a distant, almost forgotten thing." The truce held through the morning, Christmas Day, when the two sets of soldiers shook hands and departed, each headed back to their own army. I reflect on these stories often during Christmas on the commonality that we all share together. And I realize that war is an unfortunate necessity sometimes. But I hope during the Christmas season we can give deep thought on what we have in common. Find common ground and from there work to build and put aside differences. My friends, I thank you for joining me this week on our Christmas programs. I'd like to give a shout out to the folks at Root Trip USA, the road trip specialist for a holiday of an unforgettable holiday in the United States or Canada. I'd like to give a shout out to the Brenners at the Roadrunner Lodge in Tucumcari, New Mexico, a wonderful time capsule from 1964 wrapped in a few modern amenities. And while we're talking about Tucumcari, I'd like to give a shout out to that wonderful little city. I have so many fond memories there, and I'm confident that if you spend a day or two in Tucumcari, you too will make some great memories and meet some wonderful people. My friends, until next week, vaya con Dios, adios, and Merry Christmas.
Say hello to a new friend on an old road. Take a two-lane trip of memories into mysteries unknown. Come along for the ride. Jim Hinckley's America. Jim Hinckley's America.
Music there from Joe and the Boys of the Road Crew at roadcrew66.com.